Good morning. It's Sunday morning, February 28th.
Thank you, Lord. We ask for your blessings. Ask for your blessings on the service, O Lord. And Lord, we ask for your blessings just generally on our body. That you would be with each member, O Lord. Your hand of protection be on each one of us. As far as our physical body, as far as drinking, eating the poison that is in this world, O Lord. Your word says that we can drink any deadly thing and it's not going to impact us, O Lord. Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that that good work would be done in us. Do that good work in us, O Lord. That we would be sanctified for your use, O Lord. By your Spirit. Cause that good work to be done. And Lord, that your truth would flow here this morning, flow from our mouths, flow into our ears, O Lord, that we would know your truth because we know the shepherd's voice. Ask that that good work be done. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Let me just quick share. Before we start talking Bible, that I had my PSA numbers checked here this week, and they were so low that they were undetectable on the equipment they have at Mayo Clinic. So I praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Doesn't mean I'm all done with cancer. You know, cancer can do a sneaky thing, but it's good news.
Mm-hmm. And we've actually had a lot of things to be thankful for and on the healing and the health front between you and Bonnie and some improvements from Susan. And it's just been encouraging.
Yeah, amen.
Our God is good.
Mm-hmm. Have you still been getting better here, Ken?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I go see him tomorrow or Tuesday.
Ah, okay.
Not as really as satisfied as I thought I would be, but maybe it's just a little longer time taken or whatever.
Yeah.
No pain, nothing like that. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and our neighbor lady came over and she had read all of Len's stuff and she made a comment that she never thought of things that deeply before. And she may be interested in coming to church. So keep praying for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God will open up doors.
Yeah. All we have to do is sit home. Well, not all, but.
No, but there's a really good lesson in that. I mean, Christians were taught that we have to go out and find
evangelize.
And totally eliminate God. Yeah. And, I mean, really, I think all we have to do is be willing and open to what God's going to provide to you. And,
well, most of us in our past knows what we was like when you eliminate God in your life. Yeah. I mean, I think back things I did that, yeah, I eliminated God out of my life for.
Mm.
I'm not going to say for how long, because I don't know how long, you know. You know, so, fuck.
I think we inherited that trait from Adam. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I for one see God's handiwork in what's going on. And I choose to walk in that faith. And, I mean, Ken's had opportunities that he didn't expect, and you have, and I know I have. And the one thing that seems to be common in all of them is no one set out within their mind, on their will, that they were going to go out and minister to some poor lost soul. What happened was God brought someone to you. And I think that's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
No.
And I don't think you should go out looking for people, because because then you're doing it in your own self, not through God's way, No, I don't believe that. That we should go out and just pick out a person. No. You're going to find yourself on the floor. You're just like, nothing. But God will open the door. Either you go out and bring that one in, or he'll bring that one into you. I'm going to go contradicting myself.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. I think that's true. But boy, you start making rules for what God does and doesn't do, and I remember many years ago, probably 30 some years ago, Gene was having a very difficult time emotionally. She just, hard time. And she was out at London Square Mall, which gives you an idea of how long ago that was, with some business. And she got approached by a man who asked if he could pray for her. And he did. And it just cracked the black time that she was in. She just felt the peace and joy of the Lord. And it turned out that what this guy did is he would go to London Square Mall once a week and look for those to minister to. That's what he would do. He made the comment that, it nearly always is the unsaved that I feel led to minister to. So it's unusual for me to pray for someone who's saved. But, he made some kind of decision in his head that this is how he's going to spend his, Tuesday or Wednesday evening or whatever, And the Lord honored it and led him to those who were needy, and just a good work gets done. Now, does he do it that way always? No, he sure doesn't. But I think about that from time to time. Yes, get led by the Lord, but maybe the Lord can honor our own decisions on these things some too. I don't know.
I don't know. And I guess maybe the Lord's waiting on you to make that first step. I don't know either.
Yeah.
God does it all different ways.
We don't know how he was praying either. Again.
That's right. We know.
He could have been asking the Lord, hey, what do I do?
Oh, I believe he was looking for the leading of the Lord when he was out there. That's right. He was being drawn.
Even to go out there,
Maybe.
Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm your servant, Mm-hmm. You might have felt the hurt.
I don't know. Originally, it could have been, that the Lord was kind of tapping him on the shoulder and say, hey, I can use you if you go there every Tuesday night, whatever.
Yeah.
That could be.
That takes a lot of faith.
Well, if you heard from the Lord and you obey, that's one thing. And I Charlie, your point, which was don't box God into certain things.
Right.
Which I think is exactly right. I was probably too heavy on the other side, saying don't do too much yourself, but don't limit God in that approach either.
I got thinking this morning about, he says to the book of, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, and I wasn't sure who it was, but he says in verse 4, this is chapter 2, verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love." And we hear, you know, we hear that mentioned a lot. And I got thinking about it. You know, okay. Most churchgoers probably never had a first love. Because they were not introduced to it. You know what I mean? And so, you know, denominational church people, they have they belong to a certain synod or whatever else it is, and they go to a different town, and they're looking for that church. You know, that's what they're looking for. They're not concerned whether there's a difference in them or it doesn't even dawn on them. I mean, I know, I've been there. And but to have the first love, you have to have had something happen to make that separation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that when Jesus says, "Come and follow me," and they left all and followed him, you know, that's a first love relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think you can be in that relationship, and you can not, and you can be, well, here, I have this against you. You've left it. I think it's easy to leave. You know, we get busy with mundane things or things of this life, and we leave it, or we forget it, or we ignore it, or whatever else we do. And I've had a number of times that I know that I was in that place, you know, and I've had other times that I know I wasn't in that place, and does it bother me? Yes, it does. I you know, I want to be there. I want to be in a place where I actually do have a first love relationship with Christ. The seven stars that it mentions are actually seven angels, and they set, it looks to me like they're around the throne of Christ.
Sorry about that.
Oh. And
Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my heathen friends calling me.
But he says, you know, and to the seven, now here's the thing that's strange. This is the first book mentioned, Ephesus. And in the fourth verse, he says, "I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you are fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick," that's the angel, "out of his place, except thou repent." So do angels, is there angels over the church? Is there angels over us? Are there angels? The Bible says in the second chapter of Hebrews, It says that these are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. It's like God has created. All of the angels were created for the sake of man. I mean, that's what it appears to say. It says that these are all ministering spirits. All angels. And people, has anyone here ever seen an angel? Have you ever looked for one?
I think Sue did, didn't she?
Yeah, and she didn't know it was an angel, which is the way they work. Sneaky little fuckers.
And Keith, I think you have, haven't you?
Well, it says that someplace that we that people have entertained angels. Is that what it says?
Uh-huh.
Unawares.
Unawares.
Yeah.
And I had an experience with one, and I think probably you have too. You don't necessarily always see them, but they do things to save you. You know, they're ministering spirits set forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. And so, but in this case here, it says the seven golden candlesticks, which are seven angels, and it says to the angel of the church of Ephesus. And he says, go back into your first love, or else I will come and remove that angel that out of his place. And I don't know that that would be a good place for the church.
Hmm.
You know, we'll get into things here that are a little hard to.
When I first read that lampstand, I thought about light. Maybe he would be removing the light from that church.
Is that what it says?
I don't know. That's what I thought first time.
It's at least that, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something more, but it's at least that.
That's kind of what I thought at first. But then I read lampstands are the churches. So maybe he's going to remove the church.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, it says in chapter 1. It says the seven candlesticks of the angels. And in the middle of the angels was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, and you know, we read all this. And then
what verse are you reading, Keith?
Pardon?
What verse are you reading?
Well, I'm trying to find.
Because 120 says, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing angels and stars and candlesticks and churches. And that's Revelation 120.
Yeah. Well, to each of the churches.
Seven golden lampstands.
Where?
In 120, instead of stick, candlesticks.
Oh, yours says. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought there was a different verse you were amplifying on.
Nonetheless, they're going to be removed if they don't go back to their first love.
Now it says, you know, talking about Christ, he holds this in chapter 2, verse 1. He holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which represent the churches, I think. it gets a little bit hard to separate and relate to, but the issue that I'm this morning I was thinking about is the leaving of the first love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a lot of people that have never had that. They've never had the experience, I don't know, you know. I've had a number of times that were a lot different than anything else. And I don't know, is that just once in a while, or is that supposed to be an ongoing thing, or what is it, you know?
You know, the lampstands have no light in and of themselves, but they are a good receptacle for light, which is kind of what the church is. And the stars are, they do have light in themselves. So you put that star and you might get the candlestick. It is the light that is there in that church. And the source of that light, you know, it comes from the hand, Jesus' hand. So it's him. Yeah, it's the angels, but it's him. Now, I don't know that I think what I'm saying is right. It might not be the whole of it all, but I think what I'm saying is correct.
I think one of the important things is that he says to repent because you have lost your first love. So you need to repent.
Uh-huh.
And go back to that. Because that's important to him at that point.
I will remove the... That's right. He's not removing the candlestick. The candle holder. The lampstand is removing the candlestick, which is the source of light.
Yeah.
I've always found that portion of Scripture a little puzzling. My experience with first love is that, it just kind of naturally fades, you know, and it's like the Lord lifts his hand a little bit, and you start feeling a kind of ho-hum about it, and it just fades. That's the way it goes. But this Scripture says, I don't know. Maybe didn't have to. He withdraws his hand a little bit. You seek him earnestly. You can retain that first love. Just because it often happens that way doesn't mean it has to. And I also find it interesting that he is suggesting that you can see about getting it back. You know? That's not my experience with first love. You can go and get it back, but just because it's not my experience doesn't mean it can't happen. Jesus is saying that it can. So again, just because it often happens doesn't mean it has to.
Jesus repeatedly says, to make it known who he is, he says, he that was dead and is now alive. One place it says alive forevermore, I think.
He's the first begotten of the dead. That's chapter 1, verse 5.
Yeah.
Is that a, that's a funny way of expressing it. Is there a better translation that you can find, Corky?
I'm just kind of searching for general thoughts on what first words mean.
Oh.
And it's, I've seen it described as remember, repent, and do. So it's kind of like don't let your acts just be thoughts. I mean, but repent and do.
Yeah.
That's what I'm kind of coming up with first. What they're an interpretation of what first works mean.
Yeah. And just because. Yeah, we shouldn't necessarily measure these things by feelings, emotions. You know, we think of first love as being that, but it, you know.
I think it's kind of interesting that they did a whole lot of things for good.
Right. Church there.
Does that one
right.
Good thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A whole raft of really good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, this commentary say the Ephesians did were fine from the works perspective, but they weren't quite in the right, seemed like they weren't quite in the right mind.
Room for improvement.
Well, they and the right mind's a bad way to phrase that, too. The right. Right heart, I think, would probably be a much better way to say it.
But there's a lot of emphasis here, again, on repentance.
Yeah.
A lot of emphasis on repentance. And
boy, you know, that stuff sounds like works of love, you know?
Well,
they have patience, his name, they've labored, they haven't fainted. Sounds like love to me. But if Jesus says, no.
There's another one that says to do first works of faith and love, like with like zeal and fervor, which will show the repentance to be sincere and genuine.
I was just reading in 5 and I was going back to what went back to what Bart said. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. That does kind of sound like I'm going to lift the light, take the light away.
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously the need. Because that's what
right, amen.
Does away with darkness, that's what's truth, you know.
Yeah. I put, you know, you can still have your church, you know, everyone comes and, you know, does, you know, goes through the motions.
Right. So that kind of falls in line with some first love, too, you know. You
sure does.
You started doing it more out of
obligation or
obligation, diligence, whatever.
That's what we always do.
Yeah, I want you to do it out of love like you started with. Yeah, there's a lot of things in those 7 churches to reach for.
Ooh, the Nicolaitans.
Yeah, you know, I tried finding references to them. The Nicolaitans or whoever.
Yeah.
Couldn't really come up with anything.
Because they hated them.
Nicolaitans, yeah.
Oh, that's spelled.
N-I-C-O-L-A-I-T-A-N-S.
I am I should know what that doctrine is, but I can't.
And I see
think of it.
O-L-A-I-T-I-A. I was repeating it again. N-I-C. O-L-A.
I-T-A-N.
There's a reference here somewhere. It says, who has a two-edged sword in his mouth?
Yeah, it's in the 12. 2:12 in the Smyrna.
That's the church at Pergamos.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah, just the very first part, yeah. Yeah. Couldn't find Antipas anywhere either as a martyr. Yeah, it gets repeated again, the Nicolaitans in 2:15.
Yeah. It says the same thing.
Yeah.
One interpretation is people think it is from Nicholas the Antioch mentioned in Acts 6:5. Some think Nicholas is the same man who appears to convert to Christianity in Acts 6:5, but lost his way to a teaching known as Gnosticism, a heretical teaching that swept away many members of the church in the second century. So it's basically strong false prophet.
Well, it's something bad. That much I know.
Don't want to go there.
Don't want to go there. That's right.
Well, that's where we should ask for light, because you can't not know where to go if you don't know what it is.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have that light, we get lost. It's as easy as that.
Yeah, amen. We want the light. And to get the light, we need to be repentant, and we need to be fervent about that repentance.
You're a goner if you lose that lampstand, yeah, or the candlestick, or, you know.
Here's what it says in the concordance. It says, the followers of one Nicolaus, whose deeds are condemned without being mentioned. So I I'm not sure we'll find out exactly what it is. We might find it in a Bible dictionary, but it says the deeds are condemned without being mentioned.
Well, it must be worse than Balak, because they mentioned Balak.
Wasn't Balak? Balak was having something to do with that donkey or not?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Parking's right.
He was rebuked by a donkey, I think. He was rebuked.
Yeah.
The voice of a donkey coming from a donkey or something.
Yeah, he was supposed to be a prophet.
Mm-hmm. Of course, he's right about who these Nicolaitans are. They came from Nicholas, proselyte of Antioch. Nicholas was first deacons.
Yes.
They were picked, you know. They were full of faith in the Holy Ghost. And,
spirit-filled man to the apostles.
Yeah, right. They were so that they could take care of all the church business so that the apostles could be in the Word, pray and be in the Word. He was good, that Nicholas. He was right in there with Philip and Stephen.
Then he must have gotten off track.
Well, here's another just for thought. Because Revelation seems to link Balaam with the Nicolaitans, one could assume that the Church of Ephesus faced a similar dilemma. Mm-hmm. Immersed in pagan Roman culture in that city, the sect of the Nicolaitans may have attempted to woo the Christians away from their religion, just as they had been wooed before. So,
yeah.
And it goes on. It says another reference to the Nicolaitans is in Acts 15:29, where they appear to eat food offered to idols. And the comment here is, this one doesn't seem like a major offense. In their context, they had committed a serious spiritual crime. So, anyways, I'm just.
Well, it's interesting that they don't mention it. It must be pretty bad,
One other comment here was that the book of Revelations was written quite a bit after the book of Acts. And so there's kind of a little bit of 20/20 hindsight as seeing what was done, and they chose not to give it strength by repeating those same sins.
Oh, sure.
It's kind of like we all know what they did and it was bad.
So
don't need to talk about it anymore. There's one reason why it seems to be vague in Revelations versus some of the more explicit points on Acts. But I found it interesting, and I think the reason I'm yammering here is that Nicholas of Antioch was a spirit-filled individual who, in the eyes of Peter and the gang, was on fire for God. Enough so that they put him in a position, and yet, boy, he lost his way. You know, he got deceived. And to me, that's the warning that I'm taking away, like, ever diligent, ever repentant. You know, Keith asked a question like, well, it says, you know, every moment of every day of every hour, is that really what we're supposed to do? And I'm over here thinking, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. We fall short and we need help. But that's kind of what we're supposed to do.
Well, I thank God for repentance.
Amen.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ.
And there's a suggestion there that, they were in a pagan culture where they're, you know, so they could be influenced by all the practices of the pagan culture and kind of try not to be offensive to the pagans and maybe adopt, you know, make peace with them and whatever. That doesn't really apply to us. Well, it sure does. It sure does.
Probably even more so.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we are in a pervasively pagan culture. Just as those folks were.
it reminds me, you know, we've been talking a little bit about it, but it goes back to the parable of the sower and the tares. Growing, you know, together. And how God's going to handle that at the time of the harvest.
I don't want to be a tare at all.
No, and you don't want to be deceived, and you don't want to not repent. I mean, we're being given a lot of guidance, a lot of insight here.
To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That's our goal.
Mm-hmm. If we're a stopping point, I just want to make a comment, something that, I mean, I don't know if I've shared or not, but in the last couple of weeks, I've been struggling with some things, and the Lord kind of helped me in reminding me that I was letting these problems of the world weigh down my eternal goal, and I was looking at things that were, I was hoping would happen or would take place that weren't happening, and I was lamenting my situation, and it was starting to affect me until I got a little light that said, you know, I was forced to ask myself, why am I struggling over what's going to happen over the, you know, the last few years of my life here on earth, and not be looking with great anticipation and excitement towards my eternal life. And that really helped me, because it reminded me that I needed to put my perspective back in place. It's like, gee, I wish da 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 da, you know, and it's, you know, the illnesses that people have had to go through recently, and maybe I shared this with you guys on Sunday night, but it struck me once I said, you know, I don't know how many days the Lord has for me. You know, it's clear I'm on the back half of that. But why am I lamenting over my situation when I really don't have any reason to complain? You know, and why am I not just looking forward with all that I have towards eternal life? Because that's really what's important. And it really lifted something off of me. You know, the enemy was trying to impress, being oppressive with me, and it, you know, I came to that, and I'm like, you know, I'm in a lot better place just knowing that I'm keeping my focus on God and not what's happening around me.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good testimony, Corky.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Would that we all put the mundane things in the proper perspective, which is pretty minor. Would that we all did that.
Yeah, for example, I know some have been struggling over the recent election and what's going on in the country, and you kind of go, if you sit there and go, you know, what's going to, you got, you know, X number of years, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens to our country. It really just matters what happens in your soul relative to God. And it really, really kind of helped me let go of a lot of things that were gnawing at me. You know,
it lifts you up, doesn't it?
Well, the funny thing is, there wasn't a revelation on, gee, is my eternal life important? And gee, should I stop worrying about the natural? But it was interesting how I was getting sucked into that, not seeing it. You know, which just reminded me just how sly the enemy can be. Because I think I'm out here swinging pretty hard to keep my focus, and, you know, I'm pressing to the mark, and it's like, and I've got all this stuff going on, all of a sudden, wait a minute, I'm in the quicksand, you know, I'm right where I don't want to be, and I know I'm trying to avoid it. really, really helpful. And I praise God.
He's faithful.
Going back to what we were talking about with angels here earlier, I have not had a personal experience with angels the way that Keith did with the fellow that helped him out when he was climbing up that hill, or the time that Susan was there troubled in the hospital and this woman with a cardigan sweater came in and started checking with the machines and stuff. And with Keith, the angel helped him with his balance there so he didn't go tipping over and being stabbed by a bunch of, being seriously injured. And then with Susan being just reassured when she was real troubled that, no, it's gonna be all right. You know, I have not had those experiences, but somehow or other, and I think it's a work of the Lord, those two stories have kind of become mine. You know, it's almost as though they did happen to me, with hearing, about Keith being saved that way, and then Brittany saying, well, no, what man? I didn't see a man. And then Susan with the, no, we don't have anybody around here that works like that, those stories have become mine. And I don't think I don't think it's just simply natural. I think the Lord let that be kind of like it did happen to me. And I thank you for that.
Maybe that's why we're one body.
Yeah. I think that might be an element, huh?
Yes. Good point.
Just food for thought, though. We all, I think, all have had an experience or situation, and I'm thinking about you were in a car and someone lost control, and there is no way on God's earth that you shouldn't have been in an accident, but you weren't.
Yeah.
And I think that's happened to more of us than, so before you say, well, I wish God was doing, you probably have had an experience and you didn't even, you're not recognizing it or giving praise for, gee, this could have been bad, and it's not. I mean, those of us who've been in war and been shot at and weren't.
I have to say,
you're like, oh, well.
That was right where they come from, right?
Yeah.
I remember when Ty and Taj were little, and they were coming to the Christian school out here, and they were taking a school bus at that time, and we were in our old house, and we had to walk up to Birch Street and wait on the corner. We were standing on a corner, and a car jumped the curb towards us, but missed.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt very strongly that we were protected by angels. Because
mm-hmm.
All three of us would have been killed. Or hurt very bad.
I know I've been protected.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a few times.
Yeah. I'm just trying to help us remember, it's probably been...
It's
probably going on more in your life than you recognize.
Oh, and that's probably always true. You would just write it off. But, it's like, I've had a couple, I was just thinking, stepped on the ice and should have went down like that. And somehow, how in the world did I stay? Up? I mean, I flailed my arm, whatever, but you didn't go down. And that's kind of, now you go, you got some good...
Yeah, I've got some good reflexes.
But I don't think
that's good, right?
Not that good.
And that's what angels
time it did go down, but it hurt.
Yeah.
I was on light duty for 2 days, but.
Sometimes, I guess maybe the better way is sometimes you see them and sometimes you don't, but it doesn't mean that they're not in our lives.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and it's so easy to, and we do it, because I mean, I do it, you know, oh, this happened and I avoided that car and I really did a great job. Yeah, I did a good job. And, you know, it might not have been nothing with me. You know, we just are too quick to take too much credit and too quick to take credit away from God.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it takes faith. God puts there to believe it. Because I've read now and I know that I've been appointed at least one angel, if not quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it says it in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know that, you don't might take advantage of it, but it gives you some comfort and confidence, you know.
Yeah, that's a great thing to have
walking,
your father
to keep walking,
looking at you that way.
You're being helped, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember one time I was on 40th, although this was before it was called 40th, but 40th up here, heading just over the overpass. They're going to turn onto 120th. It was called Emerson Road back then, but that was it. And the roads were icy, and I approached it too fast, you know. And I should have gone way down into that, you know, I just plain should have. And that would have been a real jam to be down, you know, run into there's trees down there, and it's steep, and whoa. Boy, I just got straightened out. Whoa, some angel just came along and pushed that, you know.
Yeah.
Made me able to make a turn that I had no business being able to make with how I wasn't respecting the ice there.
Given all the good choices you were making.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes I think we forget about those things because it was our fault, we know it.
Yeah.
If we weren't paying attention and we don't want to spread it around.
Yeah.
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 Well, I think there's a lot of times that the angels are with us that we're not even aware of, you know. Let's say, for example, you got to be somewhere at a certain time and you can't find your car keys. You spend 5 minutes looking for your car keys, you finally find them. You go down the road and there's a major accident.
Uh-huh.
5 minutes before you got there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who knows what we get saved from, right?
Yeah. And I think there's a lot that we don't know.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm.
The ones that see the angels the best are the little tiny ones.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a lot of them, you know, and they're little, that saw angels and described them, you know. I don't think they saw wings on any of them, but they just...
I know a lot of people report seeing before they die an angel coming to get them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember specifically one of Bob and Pauline's little ones. Stood here for, I probably know her.
Naomi?
Nicole, I think it was.
Remember that?
Nicole or Naomi?
I remember hearing about it.
Yeah. She looked and looked and looked and looked and looked up there. And she wouldn't take her eyes off from something. And there was an angel standing up there, at least one. And she described it then to her mother, you know, and dad here. And I mean, this has happened a number of times. Some really strange things have happened in this church. And, weird things.
It is clear that God has allowed the Spirit to move and manifest in a way that our faith can be built up.
Yeah.
So we need to be very thankful.
Yep, and little titles are leaving.
I don't know how many of you remember Dean Palazzola. He was one of the foster kids that the Holmeses had. And he was, I don't know, had some mental disability issues, you know. Mental and emotional and whatever. He was a troubled kid, and, you know. Anyway, Dean had some kind of experience with the Lord, with Jesus. And I remember him saying at the time, the rest of my life, all I'm going to do is just be good. You know,
sounds like that.
Just good forever. For all of you. He had that kind of impact on him. Now, another thing that sticks in my mind is he reported that Jesus had freckles, which was interesting to find out. But anyway.
I want to quickly read something. I guess the machine can be honest. And this is an anniversary card that Joanne and I got years ago. To Mom and Dad, happy anniversary. I love you both very much. Thank you both very much for everything. Thank you for taking me and my brothers when we were little. I am extremely lucky that God blessed me with a mother and dad who loved me and cared about me. I would not be who I am today without you both. You both have stuck your necks out for my sake, and have stuck with me through hard times. I am very sorry for the hardships I've caused you. Thank you for sticking with me. Thank you both for for never letting us down like some people did. You are a blessing from God. I am thankful I have you. I love you. Tell me who wrote that. Charles Britton.
Charles Britton, huh?
Yeah. It doesn't sound like who he is today, but this is who he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
We ran into it the other day, and I just...
He's still in there.
He's still in
there. Yeah. He probably doesn't remember a lot of things, but we went through a lot of difficulty through people that didn't understand. Mm-hmm. And you know what you do? You go through it. Mm-hmm. If they don't understand, they don't understand. If they do understand, they do. But one of the greatest blessings, and that was when his dad was in the hospital. And I hadn't seen him for years. And anyway, I walked up and I said, "Gene, I love you." And it was almost more than he could handle. You know what? I probably had reasons not to, but none of us have reasons not to.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what we go through. You do what the Lord tells you to do, and that's what you do.
I tell you, to be an anchor to someone who would not otherwise have an anchor, would just be floating around doing whatever,
yeah,
is a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing for the person who needs an anchor and has one. And it's wonderful in a different way to be that anchor. It's just great.
Well, he became my son. And you don't forsake your kids, you know, you just don't.
Yeah.
And these are, today I think he helps me more than I help him. But anyway, I had to read that for you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I just ran into it the other day, and I thought you would. It's hard to guess that that's who wrote that, but you know.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
That's one nice thing about cleaning out the house, isn't it?
Yeah. I want to tell you one other thing. No quit.
We love you all.